You're listening to the Best of Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Lloyd's Electric Service, Truly Hard Seltzer, MyBookie, and Volunteer Vodka.
Softful terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things, powered by Lloyd's Electric. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam, Cody.
Doing good, Jack. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm okay. Nice little Thursday afternoon. As we come in here and get ready to talk about sports and other things, powered by Lloyd's Electric.
Yeah, talk about some sports and some other things.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm great. There's a lot going on in sports today. I don't know if, the NBA, I heard their some of the sponsors or some of their partners have pulled out.
Who pulled out? I saw where Klay Thompson lost his contract, but I haven't seen. I'm blocked by Darren Rovell. So, I don't ever see, those updates.
Yeah, I heard their partners over in China.
Okay, so some of the people in China pulled out.
Yeah, they pulled
out.
Yeah,
I feel like China does this a lot where they threaten to pull out, then they come back. They just,
suspended their ties or something.
I know the Lakers and Nets went ahead and played their game, and it was not an empty arena, so that didn't have any real repercussions, at least inside the arena. Kyrie Irving went out with he re-injured his face. But yeah, we're getting ready to get set. I was reading an article this morning. My guy Trae Young talking about spending his summer with Steve Nash, his idol, and just absorbing everything Steve Nash could teach him, and talking about making the playoffs, talking about making the All-Star game. So yeah, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Full steam ahead. NBA, let's go.
Me too. Getting excited for this NBA season. I can't wait for it to get underway. Ready for the NFL weekend as well. As always, we got a Thursday night game tonight. College football, Tennessee, Mississippi State, big one this weekend. It's a good time to be a sports fan. Even hockey season underway. I know a lot of people are enjoying that. So.
Are you the real-life meme right now of the guy hiding behind a smiling face as he weeps?
No, I love sports. I love sports, and I'm really happy about the sports that are currently going on. What is our Thursday night game tonight?
Giants-Patriots.
Giants-Patriots. What a game.
It's not really going to distract you tonight.
What a gridiron contest.
I don't know if I can buy that one.
So that's going to be quite a ball game there.
It's okay to go through some emotions. You were up last night. You were mad online.
I'm not going through any emotions. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, said what I said about Kershaw. And, yeah, it ended up being Walker Buehler who started the game, but it was Clayton Kershaw who got touched up by the Nationals and lost the series. At least lost the lead in the series.
Should have been a 7-game series.
Another chapter in the book for Clayton Manning. As he gags in the postseason. I felt really bad for him seeing those pictures. Here's some replays if you need to see them. There's Rendon going YAMO.
I don't need to see what happened.
The very next pitch, boom. Soto, that was a no-doubter there. Ugh. Man, that one was crushed. Yeah, 449 feet. That one was destroyed.
I saw the game.
And you really feel bad seeing Clayton Manning sit there just really sad.
Why make fun of a local hero?
Look at him. You look know. At him. Look how sad he is. That would be a really low time in your life. Like, keep the camera. I mean, I get that we want to see the camera on him, I guess. I guess we do want to feel that drama, that passion. And he did really, like, scream in the seventh inning as he, you know, got a strikeout. He really let the Nationals have that one as he screamed. So the picture of him sitting there really somber like a dog sitting out in the rain. That'd be tough to be devastated and then turn into a sad meme, right? That'd be insult to injury. And then in the ninth inning right there, it looked like rookie Will Smith almost hit a walk-off two-run bomb. Almost, but no, just warning track power.
Got Syracuse at NC State tonight, too. That could be a decent little college football game.
How do you let Joe Kelly get that double rocketed off the wall? You allow him to intentionally walk the next guy to load the bases. How do you let him stay in to give up the grand slam? How do you let that happen? By the way, it's the first grand slam ever in extra innings in a do-or-die game.
Well, isn't that great?
How do you let that happen? Like,
it's Dave Roberts.
What is Dave Roberts doing over there?
Dave Roberts, it's time to go. It's time for him to go.
You're calling for his head, and there's, I mean,
how many more blunders in the postseason is it going to take?
I mean, then the Dodgers just go down.
Oh, God, we're front page ESPN.
And then you just go down with a whimper in the night.
Dave Roberts will have to own this Dodgers disaster.
Didn't even put a runner on base. Ugh.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
How do you?
I can't enjoy anything.
How do you wait? How do you wait to bring in Kelly Jansen?
Kenley Jansen.
Kenley Jansen, excuse me. Thank you. How do you wait to bring in Kelly Jansen? To pitch after the game's already 7-3. How do you wait? Is he your closer or is he not? Is he your best strikeout pitcher?
He's supposed to be. Yeah.
I feel like he's supposed to be like your best strikeout pitcher. I mean, when I watch Kelly Jacobs, he usually strikes out a lot of batters. But it was nice of Dave Roberts to save him because, I mean, I don't know if Dave Roberts knows, but when you're at home, there are no save opportunities in extra innings, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, there's no save opportunities once you get to the ninth inning, Todd. So, like, I don't understand what you are waiting for. If you're waiting for a high leverage situation, I would say bases loaded, no outs. That would be a pretty high leverage. Nope, just let old Joe Kelly stay in, and he gave up a grand slam to a guy without really a lot of pop. I mean, that had to be the worst part about it. It's like, who hit the grand slam? A guy named Howie ended the season, Cody. A guy named Howie. Howie. Not Mandel either. Howie. Kendrick. Howie. Yeah. Yowie wowie. How'd he do it? He hit it right over the center field wall.
I saw it. Everyone was on base.
There was nowhere to put him. Like, they had to pitch to him. Like, there was no other base to put him on.
That's right. He knocked her out of there.
You okay?
No. I'm really not.
If you're not watching on Periscope, Cody showed up in his Dodgers hat. He is still bleeding blue. Now he is.
Can I be a real fan now?
He's maybe bleeding out.
Can I be a real fan?
Bleeding out blue.
The fact that I cared about this and it hurt me. Can I be a real fan yet? Am I allowed?
It's a part of. Like I said, you had to have your heart broken a couple times. There's a.
Well, it's broken.
There's step one of your heart.
It's broken. Damn it.
That's step one.
Next year, that's not the only baseball game that happened yesterday.
Next year, when the Dodgers miss the playoffs, and if you stay through them through that,
they're not gonna miss the playoffs.
I don't know, man. It's going to get ugly this offseason. Going to be a lot of question marks.
They're bringing everybody back. It's going to be fine.
Going to be a lot of question marks. I don't know.
Everybody will be back. They'll be right back in the same spot next year, hopefully without Dave Roberts.
Usually when a team starts sliding, they continue to
they're
slide.
They're not,
you know?
Sliding.
Well, they went to the World Series 3 years, and this year they lost in the first round.
They're
so
not
that's
sliding.
That's a slide.
It was a bad game by their manager.
How many games did they win in the regular season? 106
games? 106 games.
Just a
I don't
lose
think that's
in
a
the
slide.
First round? Just
I don't
a
think
lose
you can call
in
that
the first
a slide.
Round? That's the type of thing that you're like, oh, man, what did we just do? We ruined all of our hard work.
Yeah, it hurt.
We ruined all of that hard work.
It really hurt. I'm just glad that I got to actually watch the game, you know, actually go through the ups and downs, the highs and lows through the game and actually follow it to the end.
Is that better?
At least this game, you know, it was a 10 inning game. You know, you didn't know what was going to happen until the 10 inning, as opposed to the game beforehand. You know, the first game of the day.
Yeah, the Braves got their ass kicked. They didn't even get a chance to even really start the game. Freddie Freeman shall now be known the same way Clayton Kershaw is Clayton Manning from now until the end of time. Maybe Clayton Manning will be able to hang on with maybe he'll sign with the Yankees at the end of his career and get a championship or something like that. Maybe he'll get a World Series ring. But the same way he is now known as a elite, maybe best ever regular season pitcher and choke artist in the playoffs, same is now being said for Freddie Freeman. He will now be known as Freddie Harden. He is James Harden. Doesn't have the same ring to it, obviously. Clayton Manning, Clayton Kershaw, sounds good.
I don't know why we have to disparage a local legend in that way.
I caught him the best ever. Clayton Kershaw might be the best pitcher ever in the regular season.
It's not a good comparison.
It's a great comparison.
Peyton Manning won 2 Super Bowls.
Okay. I mean, that will, like, the ring does kind of hurt it a little bit. Now, the second ring, whatever. I'm not counting that second ring. That was Von Miller's ring.
I mean, it's a Super Bowl ring. That's fine.
It's a team effort,
and he won a Super Bowl
That's
ring.
Fine,
he
but you
can... He was the quarterback of the Super Bowl championship team.
Look at the splits, the statistics.
No, I know. They were bad.
Playoff career, it got a little rough. It got a little shoddy.
He was still on that team.
I'm just talking about his entire career in the playoffs. A little shoddy. He
completed passes in the Super Bowl.
Greatest ever, from greatest ever in the regular season to, I don't know, I think I'd rather have Brady in the playoffs.
You got to have points to win.
Wow, Gabe Kapler finished. They're fired. That makes sense. Philly's really underachieved.
The writing was on the wall there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You knew he was out in Philadelphia.
He was gone.
All along.
He was gone. I am waiting to see if anything happens with Snitker. Whatever the hell his name is. Snicker? Stinker? Whatever his name is, because that was rough to watch for the Braves, who gave up a 10 spot in the first inning. Also made history. That was the most runs given up in that round of the playoffs in history, I believe.
Tied for the most ever in any inning in the playoffs.
And it starts with a leadout walk, a leadoff walk, whenever your catcher drops a foul tip, which I saw some people mad about that. I feel like that's a hard play to make. I don't know. I feel like for a catcher, it's hard to catch a foul tip. I don't know. I've never done it. It seems like it'd be tougher, but it also seems like maybe something a catcher should do, especially if he's not going to hit. Like, you at least got to come in there and be solid defensively. I don't know. Some people are mad at Brian McCann for that. I don't know how you could defend what Freddie Freeman did in that inning, which was boot an easy double play ball with Yadier Molina running that would have kept the damage to 1-0 after the first, and the Braves would have had a chance. Instead, he boots it, loads the bases, a walk, a double, you walk the pitcher, and you don't get out of the first inning.
One of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen as a baseball fan.
It was almost at the point, though, where it became funny. It's like you just realize it's not a tragedy, it's a comedy.
I don't think it was funny to real fans.
Yeah, I think at a certain point you just have to laugh. I think you do.
No.
At a certain point of a blowout, you just laugh and say, well, that's the Atlanta sports team for you. Right? I mean, Cam, is that not how you felt? Like, you were just kind of like, Atlanta sports. This kind of becomes a joke at that point. But, like, it's not like they came in as the heavy, heavy favorite to win the National League and, you know, it was a team that was thinking World Series all year. Like, the Braves were really focused on just winning the NL East for most of the year. Now, like, they're like, sure, we have a team that can make a deep run. You know, but it wasn't like the whole season was about, like, redeeming themselves and finally winning the World Series. And
the
like
Astros
I said, they
were the favorite to win the World Series.
I said heavy favorite in the National League. The Astros play in the American League. The Dodgers were a heavy, well heavy favorite in the National League all year long. So I'd say with the Braves, like, yeah, it was embarrassing, but eventually it became funny. It was not a late night punch to the gut, rip your heart out type of loss. I think it's a good question, though. We'll talk about that. Would you rather have your heart broken and ripped out, or would you rather just get your eyes beat shut?
We've had that conversation before.
I think we've had it the opposite of how you'd rather win. Examining the soul after a loss. We can do that, too. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. I put the poll question up, Fox Sports Knox. Who hurt worse after yesterday, Dodgers fans or Braves fans? There is something about being the favorite and losing, I think, that has to hurt worse. Right?
I mean, yeah, it hurts.
You're the favorite and you lose, and like your whole season was built around this moment. And like I said, it's, you know, 3 years of redemption. I guess they made the World Series twice in a row and lost, not three times, twice.
Right.
They were looking to get beat in the World Series a third year in a row.
At least we don't have to be the Buffalo Bills.
That's true. That's true. But at least the Buffalo Bills. The
comparisons were starting to come.
Is losing in the first round losing better than losing in the World Series? Because I would still rather lose in the World Series.
I don't know. I'm just looking for
positives.
Any kind of positives here. It was tough. I really cared.
Makes you feel better. Trae Young had 18.7 rebounds and 5 assists last night.
I don't care what Trae Young did.
Yeah, take it out on Trae. It's not his fault that Clayton Kershaw choked again. It's not his fault that, like, a legendary Dodger.
Do you feel good about yourself?
Failed to come up.
Do you?
Failed to come through in the clutch again.
Does it make you proud of yourself to disparage me in this way? To come at me on the internet last night when you knew damn well I was hurting. You knew I was.
I didn't come at you.
You knew I was drinking. You knew I was hurting.
No, I did not come at you.
Oh, yeah, you came at me.
All I did was said at the FBI when you said you wanted to blow D.C. off the map. That's all I said.
I didn't say blow them off the map.
What'd you say?
Tweet,
wipe off the map?
That tweet should have been taken in a baseball connotation.
What'd you say? Wipe?
I did not say we need to wipe D.C. off the map
in
terms of, you know, actual the city.
What'd you say? Wipe or blow? You said one
I
of the two.
I said wipe.
Okay.
I said I hope D.C. gets wiped off the map.
Yeah, and I felt like
the
FBI needed to get a look at that. That's a dangerous tweet to send.
I meant by the Cardinals.
We have to protect our nation's capital.
It was a baseball tweet. I mean, I think anybody could have known.
I don't think that
and
was.
You just
I don't
wanted
think
to come and
coming,
rub it in.
I don't think that was coming at you.
You just wanted to come and rub it in because you knew there was finally something I could enjoy besides Tennessee sports. You knew I actually cared about the Dodgers, and you wanted to make sure
that
you knew I was hurting and that you were happy I was hurting.
That is wrong.
That's exactly
that is wrong.
What it was.
We all saw, if you want to get down to brass tacks, if you want to actually talk about it, I saw the subtweet first.
The subtweet?
I saw you try to subtweet me.
What
I saw you try to subtweet me. You came at me before I even remotely came at you. By the way, tagging the FBI in a tweet is not coming at you.
I mean, what if they had arrested me for terroristic threats?
Well, that would have been an all-time backfire.
Yeah.
If I'd have got my buddy and my co-host arrested that.
For terroristic threats.
I was about to delete
then
it.
Then I'd be sitting in some dark room explaining how it was supposed to be about the Cardinals and the Nationals.
I didn't want to. Then they'd be like, why are you a Dodgers fan? Why do you care this much?
Because I love the Dodgers. I'm
like, wait, you're from Arkansas, but you love the Dodgers.
I bleed blue.
Then you would have had to explain. No, I got the hat.
I
went to a game. And
I bleed blue.
But here we have a picture of you, sir, with your big board that says you're a Cardinals fan. So, like, what's the problem?
Then they probably wouldn't believe me.
Yeah.
Then I'd be imprisoned.
So I was about to go and delete the tweet to the FBI because I didn't want to get you in trouble.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you.
When I was going to hit delete, I get a quote tweet of you trying to talk slick. So
talk
I was like, well,
slick.
Now I can't delete
what do you
it
mean,
because
talk slick.
You said I don't know what you were saying. You're trying to argue. You kept trying to like talk about the Braves losing as if that was supposed to be the same level of hurt for me.
I did not subtweet you. That was not about you. It was about all the people talking trash to me. You were included in it, sure, but it
I'm
wasn't
looking right now.
At you.
I'm looking right now, and I don't see anybody talking trash to you.
There were a lot of people talking. trash
I don't
trash
see anybody
to
talking trash to you.
They were talking trash. They were laughing.
I don't think so.
They were pointing fingers. I got beat up in an alley.
I had tweeted something about Clayton Manning, and then I see a tweet right after that from Cody. I guess it's cool, though. We didn't give up 10 runs in the first inning. That was trying to be directed towards me.
That was not a subtweet.
Yeah, that's a subtweet.
No, it was not a subtweet. That was a subtweet.
It was right after I'd said Clayton Manning. What you don't understand is that the good thing about being a bandwagon fan is I was able to laugh that Braves loss off pretty easily. And
yeah, because you're not a real fan.
I've acknowledged
that.
You just
hopped on their bandwagon.
How many times have I had to say that? I've acknowledged it many times.
You have not acknowledged not being a real fan. You're
a
fan.
Yesterday I said, I am on the Braves bandwagon. I have adopted them because the Reds stink. I've said that many times. Many times.
So if you don't care so much about them, why are you coming to bat for them? Why are you coming to their defense?
Why am I defending them?
I felt like the reason you came at me last night was so that you could show off for the locals. Because you knew I had been talking trash about the Braves.
All I said was you
thought you'd come out and stand up for the Braves.
No. Nope.
I'm going to be Mr. Hero. I'm going to stand up for all these Braves fans.
Cam.
That's what you were doing.
You can be the deciding vote. Am I standing up for Braves fans whenever I quote tweet him and say, at FBI, when he says, I hope DC gets wiped off the map? Is that me defending the Braves fans' honor?
Yes.
I don't think that has anything to do with the Braves fans. I think that's more like...
Thank you.
The Braves lost. You knew it made me happy. Then the Dodgers lost. You knew I was devastated. You knew I was drinking. You knew
Braves
I was in a dark place.
Why would the Braves losing make you happy? Yesterday on the show, you were talking about how you were hoping the Braves won.
You knew I was in a dark place.
And all I said was, it wasn't even, I never even like took up for Atlanta. All I said was, it just had to hurt extra bad watching your team blow a 2-run lead with a legend on the mound.
You know what you were doing.
I don't text with my thumbs. You know that.
With your index fingers.
My index finger tweeter. Or left thumb, right index finger tweeter. That's me.
Well,
you
congratulations
came,
for
you
being
came
the big
at me.
Hero.
You came at me.
And taking down Cody the terrible Dodger. Congratulations.
I wasn't trying to take you down. I just wanted to talk about how much it had to have hurt.
I kind of wish I was arrested for terroristic threats so you'd feel bad today.
I thought at the very least they would maybe lock your account down for 12 hours while they vetted you.
They should have known. I mean, come on. Well... They should have known.
They would have ran your geotag and be like, wait, this guy's in Tennessee. Why is he so mad about the Dodgers game?
It's a baseball tweet.
The good thing about this, these bandwagon people kind of got it figured out.
What bandwagon people?
I don't know. People who hop from bandwagon to bandwagon. Like, I had a fun season rooting for the Braves. It sucked yesterday in the first inning, but after that I was able to just kind of laugh and say, you know what, Freddie Freeman. More like Freddie Harden, choke artist. Baseball's cruel in the sense that you have to wait 162 days, right? Or 162 games, even more than days, like, you know, 220 days. And then it's all gone just like that, boom. And then you got to have your off season and go through that big, long marathon again.
Big Josh says that my pain makes his more bearable.
See?
So that's exactly... what I was saying.
We're bringing people together.
You knew when you sent those tweets that it would be that all the Atlanta Braves fans would see it and they would remember the things I had said earlier in the day about Chipper Jones.
That's not true. That's just people misery. You think I created the term misery loves company? You think I did that? No. Big Josh is happy because he knows you're sad too, so he feels okay. They knew you were going to be sad regardless of whether or not you tried to come at me for tweeting the FBI at you.
I think it was just you chasing internet clout.
Oh, was that it?
That's what it was. Getting all the locals on your side.
All the locals on my
side. That should be your brand.
Yeah.
Instead of Channel 6. Channel 6 on your side.
Just me clout
chasing.
John
Reed on your side.
Just me clout chasing, trying to win over all the Braves fans by saying, yeah, guys, today really sucked for y'all, but at least you didn't lose like the Dodgers. That's the way to win people over.
John Reed on your side. Straight from the heart.
These bandwagon people got it figured out. If it works out, great. If not, I was able to snap and clear pretty quickly. I was still rooting hard for the Braves, don't get me wrong, but I know there's people out there hurting a lot more than I was yesterday. Braves fans and Dodgers fans.
Well, I'll have you know I'm no bandwagoner.
Okay.
There's a reason I wore my hat today.
Because those flags are still flying high here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
I'll be sticking with my Dodgers. Now, I will be pulling for the Cardinals against the Nationals because of what the Nationals did to us.
Okay. But only because of what the Nationals did to you.
But that does not mean I am a Cardinals fan.
Okay.
I will still be watching the baseball games, however.
I will not be. I'm out. No more baseball for me. It is NBA season.
Hope you're proud of yourself.
I don't think I did anything here at all. I don't think I did anything at all. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. This football season, or baseball season, don't be like the Dodgers. Don't let your lights get knocked out. Do the smart thing and call Lloyd's Electric Service and pick you up a Generac automatic standby generator. Lloyd's Electric Service and their LES Facilities Service Division provides complete generator sales, service, and installation in Knoxville and the surrounding areas. With great financing options available, owning a home generator has never, ever, ever, ever been more affordable. Commercial, industrial, residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700, 692-6700, or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Lloyd's Electric Service, your business, our priority. Cam, we've heard Cody weigh in. What's your take? What's your vote? What's worse, getting blown out and not having a chance, or leading for most of the way and collapsing?
I think I'm going to lean towards the collapse because I still have PTSD from the Super Bowl. And that definitely hurts more than the games where we've just straight got blitzed and lost. Mm-hmm. Because it just gets your hopes up even more. Like, it's more than, like, you already have your hopes up going into the game, but when you're automatically just down that quick, you don't have time to hit a new peak. But, like, that Super Bowl, like, yeah. I was full peak, like, wow, it's over. And
that obviously gets, that one gets magnified because you are in the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. Obviously, like, and it's Tom Brady, it's the Patriots, it's 28-3, and then to have... That one's a little bit different because that's like losing a huge lead.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday the Dodgers didn't lose a huge lead. It was just 3-0, which, I mean, yeah. You would think with the pitching staff they have with Walker Buehler, who's supposed to be this wonder kid, and Clayton Kershaw, who's like a legend, you would think a 3-run lead would be, it might as well be 28-3, yeah. Really, honestly, Buehler at home was with that lineup. But
need to take a shot at Buehler.
You would think that the game would be over, I guess.
Kershaw's owning it. Kershaw's owning it.
He has no choice.
He said right now all the
things. Can't run away from this one. Yeah.
He said after the game, all those things that people are saying about me in the postseason, he said right now they're true.
Yeah.
He's owning it.
How big of you, Clayton Kershaw, to admit
it is. It is big of him.
In your six pitches, giving up two bombs, yes, that makes the narrative that you are a postseason choker true.
I had one job to do, he said. Just get three outs. I got one out. He's owning it.
Was he only going to pitch two more batters, I guess, or was he going to try to get through a whole inning? I was unsure of that.
Apparently, just two more batters.
Seems weird whenever you have an elite setup guy. And is it Madea? How do you say his name?
Madea. I don't know how you say his name.
Okay. Spelled like M-A-D-E-A. Yeah.
It's spelled like M-A-E, right? M-A-E-D-A, right?
Okay, yeah, maybe. Yeah. So is that what I said or no?
I don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
Madea.
He seems like a kind of an elite setup guy, so you would think, like, maybe Madea. Just put him in the eighth inning, like, imagine how different this feeling would be for the Dodgers and my dear friend Cody McClure had they just let Clayton Kershaw come in, get the skeletons out of the closet, get your one out. You struck out. Was it – who did he strike out? Was it Rendon? No. Who was up in the seventh inning that he struck out?
I don't know.
I'll have to go back and look.
It was Rendon, Rendon got one of the hits. Rendon and Soto.
Okay, that's okay.
They got the hits.
Was it
89 mile per hour?
Wasn't Trey Turner
89 mile per hour pitch?
I'm trying to, I'll have to look to see who he struck out in the seventh with, you know, two guys on.
Adam Eaton.
Eaton, okay. Like, if he just would have left after that, like, got his one strikeout, his big strikeout, his big moment, he shut the door, Kershaw, and then they go with Medea, whatever the hell his name is, in the eighth inning, he does his thing, Jansen comes in, does his thing in the ninth, Dave Roberts is a genius, Walker Buehler is a stud, Clayton Kershaw's clutch, go Dodgers, go.
That's what should have happened.
But instead, they got cocky, they said, hey, we got to let Kershaw come back out.
Dave Roberts is too loyal to Kershaw. That's what it came down to. It's like he wanted him to have this big moment finally, and he it didn't happen. The opposite happened. And now he's just viewed as he always has been viewed, except more intense.
The good news for Clayton Kershaw is that
there's always next year.
There's always a redemption story possible, right? Like, B-Rabbit went from a huge choke artist to, you know, he beating the whole free world. He didn't choke that go around. Like, he had choked a couple of times before, but then eventually it clicked and, you know, he took down the whole free world.
How about Virginia basketball?
Mm-hmm.
Went from being the first one seed ever to lose to a 16 seed.
Yeah.
Next year, they come back, boom, okay. National championship.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of what losing to the Nationals was, like losing to a 16 seed.
Nah, it wasn't that bad.
They've never won a playoff series.
That is true. You were, Clayton Kershaw is responsible. And Dave Roberts.
Stay in the fight.
And Joe
Stay
Kelly.
Stay in the fight.
I mean, that's what the manager said. Whenever you've been playing playoff games since May 24th, whenever you dug yourself a big hole and you've had to claw your way out of it, whenever game's a playoff game, it's probably a lot different than being a fat, well-fed, comfortable dog like the Dodgers were. I mean, they had, what, 15-game division lead by the All-Star break or something like that? They coasted, and you saw what happened.
Hey, spend more money.
I don't think the answer is to spend more money. That they just got beat. It's not spend more money. It's.
Well, I'm saying if you want to be the fat, well-fed dog. If, well,
the
you know,
the thing, if you spend the money, you're supposed to win.
Other baseball teams could do that, too, if they wanted to.
Right, and they win. The Red Sox win.
That's the same thing with the Astros and the Rays right now.
The Astros have also won a World Series.
The Rays are not spending any money. The Dodgers have won a World Series.
Not since 86.
Since 88.
Okay, not since 88. You're right. That was the Red Sox Mets. Not since 88.
It's been a minute. Same as Notre Dame. Pretty sure that was their last national championship.
Is that the boat you want to be in?
Not really, no. Yeah. I mean, we've been really, it's a good comparison, though, because we've been there every year.
Yeah.
Been in the playoffs the last 7 years. Yeah. You know? I mean, we were going on four straight NLCS.
Oof, man.
Didn't quite get it.
I would say for Braves fans, now, if you can somehow remove the idea of thinking you had a game left to take care of business, I would say the Braves fans, at least for me, you know, someone who was rooting for them, game four hurt worse than game five. For me, game four hurt worse than game five. Like I said, at a certain point in game five, you just started laughing. It was probably when it was 7-0, maybe 9-0. You just start giggling. You're like, oh, man, this is ridiculous. For me, though, game four, much more frustrating. You came back. You got the lead. You had chances to blow that wide open with the bases loaded twice, and you just lose in heartbreaking fashion. A little bloop hit in the eighth inning ties it, and then a sacrifice fly in the tenth inning wins it. You could have closed the series out. You could have advanced. To me, that one hurt way worse than just getting your ass beat in game five. I think, thinking back of missed opportunities, thinking back of, oh, we could have just done one thing different, won that game, like, to, not, sorry, Cam, you might want to close your ears. I don't want to twist the knife here, but, hey, maybe Matt Ryan don't take this sack. Hey, maybe just kneel. Just literally just sit down and take a knee, and we'll kick a field goal and we'll win. Don't drop back 8 yards and get sacked and get knocked out of field goal range. Hey, maybe just hand the ball off. Maybe just quarterback sneak it. Let's just let's run this clock. Let's get out of here. Just do one thing different, and the outcome is different. I don't know if that's the case for the Dodgers last night, but if it's like, hey, we don't bring Kershaw back out there, we bring in our setup guy, maybe that goes different. the Braves, you get one hit in game four. One hit. Game one, even. Like, Acuna doesn't get held to a single on a ball that should have, you know, that went to the wall and should have been an easy double. Then maybe he scores that extra run you maybe need. To me, those games are always way worse to lose than just, eh, well, we got our ass beat.
I mean, it hurts me worse because I'm a Dodgers fan.
Sure.
But I couldn't help but think if I was a Braves fan yesterday, it would just be, it would just, it wouldn't be a gut punch. It would be like somebody just kind of stuck their hand up and just pulled your heart out.
I think it was just
like the Dodgers was more of a, oh, just get punched in the gut. Like, oh, we should have had that.
Yeah, see, I don't think the Braves felt like they should have had that game yesterday. I think it was more just like, I think for in their situation, it's just you get through the end of the season, you're like, ah, great regular season team. It feels like we have to do something else to get over the hump.
At least it was a quick death, I guess.
Whereas the Dodgers, like, what move do you make to get over the hump? Is it maybe you fire Dave Roberts and you get into the bidding war for Joe Maddon? Like, hey, you love L.A., Joe? Well, here. I know you worked in the Angels organization forever, but here, come try to manage this team, and you know you can kind of get us over the hump. Finally, you'll be viewed as the guy who can get people over the hump.
I think we could get him,
and we have a much better chance with the Dodgers of winning a World Series than the Angels do.
Who wants to live in Anaheim?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Anaheim. It seems like a nice city, but I don't know. Is that a city like where people don't want to live in?
It's far from L.A.
Okay.
I mean, it is L.A., but it's, you know, it's
it is, further, but it ain't LA.
It's further east.
Sure.
It's like Dodger Stadium, you're right over there in Chinatown. I mean, you're downtown.
Okay.
I feel like that'd be way better.
And if you're the Braves, like, does making a move at your manager feel like you're getting over the hump? Because it does feel, you know, kind of like we talked about yesterday, that window can kind of close on you. Now I think the Braves are going to be fine. The Braves still have a youth movement they can do. You know, you let Markakis walk. Brian McCann retired yesterday. Maybe you just chase one big free agent in the offseason. I know some Braves fans really want to throw big money at Gerrit Cole.
The Houston pitcher?
Yeah, he's a free agent. Throw some big money at him. Spend some money. But the Dodgers, like, it feels like they have pretty much, I don't want to say maxed out, but it feels like they, you know, what move do they make outside of just making a managerial change?
I think it's
the roster's already pretty elite.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you do.
Yeah. Unless they just suck. You know just, what? We're going to sign Gerrit Cole.
Just kind of came up short, you know? Yeah.
It's all right, buddy. It's not your fault.
Came up short.
There's always next year.
I feel like it is my fault.
Only one team can win the championship, you know?
I feel like if I had been there, they would have won.
I feel like if you wouldn't have gone to see Joker in game four, because they were leading when you left, and you kind of abandoned them to go watch a movie because you're like, oh, we got game five, it'll be fine. Kind of feel like if you'd have been more committed in game four, it might have gone differently. Kind of feel like people are superstitious for a reason, you know? Kind of feel like it could have been different.
People are superstitious because they believe in spooky ghosts.
Yeah.
It's not real.
I mean, they were winning when you lost, when you left.
And then they lost.
Yeah.
It's just a game.
It's just,
unless you're saying the momentum changed because I left.
I don't know what it would be. I don't know what it would be.
How can you defend superstition but be anti-momentum? Kind of the same thing.
I mean, I'm not actually superstitious. That was just a joke. I was just trying to twist the knife a little bit more on you. I do not think that you're going to see.
Oh, so you are doing it out of spite.
Well, that last
now you
one.
Admit it.
That last one right there, I was.
Took 46 minutes. Now you've admitted it.
That last one right there was. I don't think the Dodgers lost because you went to see a movie. No, I don't actually buy into that theory.
As,
no.
As Big Josh points out, the MLB was not. They're not using juiced baseballs for the postseason.
Mm-hmm. So,
and that probably affected both the Braves and the Dodgers.
Yeah, both of them hit a lot more home runs in the regular season.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because we had a couple last night that were right to the fence.
That, you know, walk-off with Will Smith would have been a home run.
Yeah, with a juiced ball.
That goes, that flies an extra 4 feet, and that's a home run.
See, the MLB just...
That does seem really stupid that you go with a ball for the whole regular season, then you change it for the playoffs. Like, that does seem a little, I guess it'd be a bigger story. Does seem like if I was a Braves player, a Braves front office person, a Dodgers front office person, I'd be like, hey, what happened to these damn baseballs? Same for the Twins. Like, they all of a sudden went from, you know, hitting a bunch of home runs and scoring a bunch of runs to getting shut down. I'd be a little upset, too. Like, hey, let's play. We built our lineup around this. What the hell? Hope the Joker was worth it. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
As we set the mood here, let's get ready to talk some fantasies. You ready to talk fantasy, Cody?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, I was just looking over my teams.
Okay. Let's start running through some people's questions. Some people sent some questions in having questions about fantasies. Tweeter writes in, should I just give up on Aaron Rodgers and start Gardner Minshew? Cam, feel free to weigh in here, too. You are a trusted fantasy football mind. Aaron Rodgers, last week, of course, gave the ball off a lot to Aaron Jones. Have we seen officially whether or not Devontae Adams is going to be back? Are they expecting him on Monday Night Football?
I think he's going to be a game-time decision, but I think they're leaning towards him playing.
Man, that's going to be frustrating all year. That's one of the reasons I traded Devontae Adams myself, is like turf toe. I just remember when I was younger, Steve McNair had tough turf toe, and it was like every week. It just seems like that was a is he going to play? Is he going to not play? Obviously, McNair was the toughest guy ever, so he played. But the receiver, going to be tough. If he doesn't play, that really affects Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion. You saw last week against the Cowboys, he wasn't really throwing to receivers. He wasn't really throwing to receivers at all. I want to say that receivers only caught 4 passes for the Packers. Let me verify that as we talk it out. But I feel like they really focused on, let's run the ball, let's take some dump downs. Without Devontae Adams, that receiving core starts looking a little funny, right?
Yeah. Without
8 targets to Aaron Jones. Wow.
If you take out the Philadelphia game in week 4, he had a good game in week 4. He threw for 422 yards, 25 fantasy points. Other than that, he hasn't thrown for more than 238 yards and two touchdowns. He hasn't put up over 14 fantasy points.
Now, I will say that through the first 2 weeks, especially Chicago and Minnesota, elite defenses, Denver, I feel like their defense kind of gives up some things, so maybe you should have done more there. Dallas has a pretty good defense as well, so he has gone up against some good defenses.
Yeah, they've all held him down. No more than 14 fantasy points.
And the Detroit Lions also bring in a pretty good secondary that gave Mahomes some problems too. My answer, I wouldn't give up on Aaron Rodgers moving forward, but this week – I think I would probably go with Gardner Minshew. Just for this week, who are the Jaguars playing? The Saints? That's not a good matchup either, but I feel probably better about Minshew this week. But I'm not ready to pull the trigger on that for the rest of the year. Marcus Mariota. I about said Marcus Allen. Marcus Mariota or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen's doing more with the legs, right? I feel like Josh Allen has done more with the legs. I will say Mariota going on the road to Denver. Josh Allen home versus – or I don't even know if they're home. Where's the Bills playing this week? they're off this week. So you're, I guess we're just looking. Well, obviously go with Mariota this year or this week. Rest of the season, though, I'd probably lean towards Josh Allen. Noah Robinson asked, is the Patrick Mahomes regression a real thing? Nah. I think he's going to have more bad weeks in a row before I feel like he is actually regressing. Now, is he going to throw for four touchdowns every game and 300-something yards like he was the first couple weeks? Probably not. So maybe the regression's real in that sense of, like, maybe you readjust thinking you had a first-round type of production in Patrick Mahomes. But I still think he's by far the number one quarterback. And I still want to see what this offense looks like with Tyreek Hill. Right? I feel like Tyreek Hill is going to help them when it comes to the whole playbook out that is just play man defense against them. It's a lot harder to play man defense against the Chiefs when you have Tyreek Hill out there running by everybody. Right? A lot tougher to do that. And keep in mind last week that Sammy Watkins wasn't out there. You know, he was throwing to Pringle and Mecole Hardman. It's a little bit different caliber of receiver than if they put Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill back out there, and Tyreek Hill's been practicing. So, no, I'm not worried about Patrick Mahomes. Actually, yesterday in one of my leagues, I traded for Patrick Mahomes. I traded Lamar Jackson and Nick Chubb. I had some running back depth. I traded both of them for Patrick Mahomes, Sony Michel, and who was the receiver? I don't even remember who the receiver was. Oh, Sammy Watkins, yeah. So, like, I feel like Michelle's going to be fine, and I still want Patrick Mahomes. Josh Gordon's still a solid flex option. What's Josh Gordon done lately, Cam? You were having the same question with us earlier, right, about Josh Gordon?
He's been pretty average. You know, like, he'll get, like, 5 catches, 70 yards. It's usually somewhere around there.
Here are his 5 games so far this season. Week 1 against Pittsburgh, 4 catches, 73 yards, touchdown. Obviously good production. Week 2 against Miami, that was a weird game. Not only was it weird in the sense that they beat the hell out of Miami, it was also weird in the sense that Antonio Brown was on the field, and they were trying to get Antonio Brown the ball. He had 5 targets, 2 catches, 19 yards against the Jets. 11 targets, which is good. Like, a big part of fantasy is, are you even getting the option? Are you getting the opportunities? I don't worry so much about production week in to week out. It's more so of just, like, are you in the game plan? Are they trying to throw you the ball? You know, we kind of talked about Davante Adams earlier. His first couple weeks weren't great, but at least he was still getting double-digit targets. He was still getting 8, 9 targets, 11, 12. So, like, you felt like, hey, this is still going to be a thing. With Josh Gordon, if he can get the 11 targets, that's probably pretty good. Obviously, against Buffalo, only 3 catches, but 7 targets. Against Washington, 5 catches, but 8 targets. I would say I would still trust him as a flex option. I've given up on Josh Gordon as a wide receiver, too. I wouldn't want him as a second wide receiver. I think you can do better than him there. But as a flex, especially as we get to the bye weeks, I would probably feel like I would ride with Josh Gordon there.
He's got a pretty good matchup this week too with the Giants secondary.
It is on a Thursday night though, which you do kind of worry about sometimes, right? The Thursday night games are weird, and yeah. I do worry about in this situation how much are the Patriots actually going to be throwing the ball? Like, it does feel like they can get a lead early, and it does feel like the Giants, who are without any skill players, are going to have trouble scoring, right? Like, it does feel like this could be a blowout. So maybe this week I would try to find a different option, although the Giants secondary is one you can pass on. So I'm not giving up on Josh Gordon as a solid flex option. Whether or not I played him this week on Thursday night against a game that's probably going to be a blowout, that's a whole different decision, and I would have to see who is on your roster at that point. Will Fuller or Stephon Diggs PPR? Alec, I feel like that's an easy answer at this point. I'm riding with Will Fuller. I'm not saying Will Fuller's last week is going to be something that is repeatable. It's not going to happen again, but I do feel like he's going to have a better chance of scoring touchdowns and having those big days. Right now, Stephon Diggs, man, I don't know if I'm playing Stephon Diggs over any wide receiver with a pulse that's getting the ball, right?
He's just not getting it. Even though Kirk Cousins was better last week,
he's still only throwing to Thielen.
Yeah, he's going to Thielen, and
I mean, Thielen got 8 targets, 7 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. Stephon Diggs got 4 targets, 3 catches, 44 yards. Like that's kind of the norm for Diggs. He did have he could have had a big game against Green Bay. He had 7 targets. He had a touchdown called back. That's probably the best game he's played, but even then he had one catch for 49 yards and a touchdown. Diggs hasn't been good. 2 for 37, 1 for 49 and a touchdown, 3 for 15, 7 for 108, and that was a lot in kind of garbage time as they were trying to come back on the Bears. And then last week against the Giants, 4 targets, 3 catches, 44 yards. Yeah, I'm going with Will Fuller.
Yeah, he's got, and they're going to have to score to keep up with Kansas City this week.
Oh, yeah, especially this week. Especially this week. But rest of year, I feel like I'd rather have Will Fuller than Stephon Diggs. Unless, like, Diggs gets traded to the Patriots to kind of help their wide receiving core. James White, Devonta Freeman. I'd probably go Freeman still, right? I mean, just in PPR especially. Like, I know James White's value is in PPR. But I feel like Devonta Freeman, excuse me, has been getting a lot of balls thrown to him.
Yeah, they were passing to him a lot last week. And
the rushing yards aren't there, though.
A little better, but yeah, but he's still not dominating.
But with James White, that's not going to happen either. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's playing Arizona this week, so that's a manageable defense to play against.
This week especially, I would go with Freeman over James White. It's kind of the same reason we talked about Josh Gordon, right? Game flow. I think the Patriots are going to dominate this game, which means you're probably going to see more of Sony Michel and Rex Burkhead. James White's kind of that third down safety blanket, or when they're trying to score in a hurry, he comes out and is kind of the PPR back. I don't think they're going to have to do that this week. This is crazy to me. Foster writes in, would you either have OBJ or Gallup? Which seems wild. Like, that Odell Beckham's gone from a first-round pick to, would you rather have him or Gallup?
He's awful. He's not getting the ball.
Cam, how do you feel about that? OBJ or Gallup? Well, first we'll start with just this week, and then we'll talk about kind of the rest of the year. OBJ and the Browns, who do they got this week? They play the Seahawks in Cleveland, whereas the Cowboys play the Jets in New York. Sam Darnold will be back.
I almost want to say Gallup just because.
Yeah, I can't say Gallup, though.
I feel like I shouldn't, but like he was leading the Cowboys in targets before he got injured. People try and take away Amari Cooper. So he ends up getting that production off of that, and I don't know. The Browns' offense has just been so inconsistent this year, and
man,
Baker's looking rough.
I do feel like I do like Gallup. I traded for Gallup in another one of my leagues this week. I targeted him. I wanted him. I do feel like he is a good receiver. But, man, to me, Foster, I would say this. Sometimes it's just about not feeling stupid. Like, sometimes I manage my fantasy team. Like, I just don't want to feel stupid. If you start Michael Gallup over Odell Beckham and Odell Beckham does some Odell Beckham things, you're going to feel stupid. If you start Odell Beckham over Michael Gallup and Gallup outscores him, you can at least defend that, right?
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to make fun of you. Like, bro, you started Odell Beckham over Michael Gallup. Everyone's going to be like, okay, we kind of get it. That sucks that Odell Beckham's a bit bad. I'm not panicking on him yet, but, man, you've seen what happened with the Browns offensive line and Baker Mayfield, right? Like, those guys haven't been good so far this year.
And I'd say it kind of depends on your fantasy team, too. Like, if you're cruising, I'd say play safe. Play Odell. If you're really like hoping, hopefully boom or bust kind of thing.
I know, but I mean, is Odell Beckham still not the ultimate boom or bust guy? Like, I mean, like, is he still, I mean, his ceiling's still higher than Gallup's, right? If you're looking for a boom, absolutely. Like, Odell Beckham's ceiling is still, he'll go out and get you 35 points. So I don't even agree with that so much. Like, with Gallup versus other guys, sure, but still Odell, I feel like he is a home run hitter. Troy, Cody, feel free to hop in here if you have any questions or things you want to talk about.
Yeah, sure. I actually had a question I was going to ask you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Would you trade Jared Goff for Kenny Galladay?
Who's your other quarterback?
Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's a two-quarterback league.
Oh.
Do you have a third?
Yeah, how are your receivers?
I don't have a third right now.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Goff for Galladay?
No, I wouldn't do that if it's a two-quarterback league. One-quarterback league, yes. Two-quarterback league, no.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that, no.
All right.
Troy asks, Kareem Hunt, is he going to be valuable when he comes back since Chubb has been good so far? I wouldn't keep Kareem Hunt on my roster through the bye weeks. Like, you're going to need those roster spots too much. Get rid of them. Kareem Hunt, we don't know how he's going to be when he comes back with the Browns. We don't know if the Browns are going to be in the race. We don't know if the Browns are going to figure out how to block yet. Like, so, like, I'm going to say I have no problem letting go of Kareem Hunt. If you want to try to hold on to him as a lottery ticket, good luck, but I don't have much confidence in him. He's a free agent in a couple of my leagues, and I don't mess with him. I don't mess with him. Andy asks, Emmanuel Sanders or Mike Williams in his flex? I'd go with Sanders.
Yeah,
I'd go with Sanders. Do I start Jared Goff or Matt Stafford? Who do the Rams have this week? They have the
49ers.
Yeah. Ooh, that's going to be tough against that defense. Matt Stafford going against the Packers.
That's a good defense as well.
Yeah.
They're coming off a bye week, though. I don't know if that
I wonder, like, with the Packers defense and the Lions defense being so good, I can see that game being low scoring. We said that Todd Gurley's out, right? Todd Gurley probably going to be out? That was the headline?
Probably. Well, he hasn't been practicing, but they don't know yet if he's going to play Sunday.
I would go with Goff. I would go with Goff over Stafford. Miller asked, do I want to trade him, Tyler Boyd, for Jarvis Landry? Hell no, that's stupid. Absolutely not. No way, buddy.
Greg Olson, will he reach a decent level of production? He was good earlier in the year. He hasn't done anything the last 2 weeks.
I just don't know if you're having to start Greg Olson, who your other option is. You know what I mean? Like, who else could you play?
David Njoku, he's hurt.
Then yeah, like what? You want me to make you feel better? Like tell you it's gonna be okay,
yeah,
man.
I want you to tell me. Yeah, basically.
Tell you everything's gonna be okay.
I'm wondering if Greg Olson will get any better.
I mean, he had zero receptions last week. Exactly. I don't think he has the chemistry of Kyle Allen.
I started him in my DraftKings lineup, and he gave me a big zero. And I had a chance to win some money. In our little league, and he gave me 0 points. So as far as I'm concerned, G-Reg can go to hell.
All right.
We'll talk later about what other tight ends are available in your. In your league. Matt asks, Gordon tonight or Adams on Monday? I'm definitely going Adams on Monday. Yeah. Cam, you agree with that? Gordon is probably going to max out at 15 points. If Devontae Adams plays, he's going to get you 15 at least and with a higher ceiling. To me, the difference is worth it. And if
Monday is the only issue because, if he ends up not playing, then you're like,
I would try to grab just another receiver in that game, Lions, just in case.
Like
just
Marvin Jones is available, or something.
Any Lions receiver, or take a flyer on somebody on the the Packers. Maybe even open up just a flex spot. Maybe you have to throw out Jamal Williams. I don't know. Last one, Drew asked, Galladay or Sammy Watkins in the flex? I go Galladay. Galladay's been really good, and Matthew Stafford likes him. And Sammy Watkins is the ultimate boomer bust guy.
Especially if Tyreek's back this week.
Yeah, I'm just not betting on Sammy Watkins. All right, good edition of Let's Talk Fantasy. Appreciate everyone for the questions. I guess they get to blame us now if we gave them bad advice. I feel like fantasy is the ultimate thing. Like, you don't even necessarily like let people change your mind, but if someone co-signs you, you at least like do it, and you're like, okay, now I'm going to blame them if they're wrong. I just need someone to give me that push. Even when I was getting offered trades, I was like, let me run this by a couple people. That way I can have somebody else to kind of blame and be like, well, at least I wasn't a dumbass. The worst part about fantasy is feeling like a dumbass, so at least you're not alone if you are wrong. All right, Cam, take us to break. That was Let's Talk Fantasy with John, Cody, and Cam. We'll be back on the other side. Back on the program. Have you had your fantasy fill, Cody?
Yes.
Do you miss Mercedes?
What?
Huh?
Mercedes?
Yeah.
Yeah, she still hasn't called.
You didn't reply to your email?
No, I haven't heard back from her.
Have you checked your spam folder?
No.
Yeah, always got to check the spam.
I'm starting to think it was maybe just a one-night thing. She doesn't want to follow up. Speaking of brothels, I've been looking into maybe going to Amsterdam next summer.
Okay.
You ever thought about Amsterdam?
Nope.
I've heard good things about it. I've heard it's a really interesting place.
I had a friend who went. He had a good time. When I think of Amsterdam, I think of Hostel. So I don't want to go.
It's just a movie.
I know it is. And I understand that maybe I'm being crazy for saying that. But I'm just kind of like, what is in Amsterdam that I need to see? You know what I mean?
It's mostly behind glass. It's mostly behind glass.
Yeah, like pages. What do I need to see? Like that. I mean, it's just. What one of the big benefits is what? Like marijuana and stuff's legal there, right? Like I don't smoke marijuana. Like the brothels are legal there too. Like
it's like 50 euros from what I understand.
Yeah, it's really cheap. My friend went out there and he experienced it and he said it was fine. But like I'm okay. I have a girlfriend. Like and. If I didn't, I wouldn't travel all the way to Amsterdam to to be able to go to a brothel. Like to me, like I've always just kind of like, what's the point of Amsterdam?
When you factor in the cost of brothels here versus brothels there, you probably save even if the flight's a little more expensive.
Is that how you're going to like plan all your trips now? Like where prostitution's legal?
Where are there good brothels?
Yeah, like where are the where's prostitution legal?
No, but I mean I've always wanted to go to Europe. So that would be an added bonus to, if I were going to go to Europe. But that's a big trip. It costs a lot of money to go to Europe. So I don't know. I'm kind of tentatively thinking about it next summer, though. So,
okay. I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. Like I said, my friend had a great time there. It's just not something that interests me. I have slowly started coming around the idea of, like, going to Africa. That's where I think...
Africa. That would be cool.
Yeah, my girlfriend went to Africa, before we met.
Where do you
She's
stay,
always talked
though?
About how great it is and how she wants me to go. And I've always been like against it, like, no way, I'm not going to Africa. But as really in large part because Cam's Animal Kingdom, I've kind of come around. I was like, you know what? I'd check out Africa
go
with
like
you.
On a safari.
Kenyan safari would be sweet.
I'd check that out.
Where do you stay
She
in
like
Africa?
Backpacked. Man, she backpacked across Africa.
You can stay in some of those places where like giraffes walk right up and stuff.
I
There's
don't,
some cool places.
Yeah, see, I'm a little nervous about that because – there are two things when I travel and when I go places in general that I worry about. Food and comfort. That's always like high on my list, like food and comfort. I'm a picky eater, and I'm really easy to irritate. That might not be shocking to anyone listening. I get irritated very easily, and I worry about my food. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the food's going to be like in Africa if we go. I don't know. The comfort seems like it's not going to be great either if we're having to, like, walk around places and stuff. I don't know. Amsterdam, I kind of was like, the food probably isn't going to be great there either. Like, what's the point? If I'm going on a vacation, I'm going to go to, like, a resort or something or somewhere nice.
Wouldn't you like to try, like, new foods, though?
No.
Like, you don't have any desire to do cultural foods?
I have found all the food I need to eat. My rotation is good. Eating is something I feel like I got a good handle on.
What is it? Shrimp scampi.
Love shrimp scampi. Just devoured some.
Grilled chicken with rice.
I love pasta as well. I love pizza, hamburgers, chicken fingers. Donuts are cool too sometimes. Like, I'm good.
But don't
steak.
You don't want to change it a little at all?
Absolutely not. None.
Not
I'll go get
it.
Some wasabi every now and then. Like, not the, what are they called? Not oysters. What the hell am I thinking of? Sushi. Not the sushi. Nah, I'm good on that, but I'll get the fried rice. I'll do that. I'll switch it up a little bit there.
The hibachi.
Yeah, I'll get the hibachi. Outside of that, no, I'm good. Palate is my palate. I'm good at what I eat. I don't need to experience new foods.
Just trying something new, though?
What's the point of that?
Just to see what it's like.
I'm good.
I mean, don't you want
to... What if it's not
you're
good?
Not interested in, like, other cultures and, like, this is what these
not,
people eat?
Not really.
Maybe,
not really.
Just see what it's
no,
like.
And I don't... Well, I hope that doesn't mean that I come off like a jerk. Like, I just... I like what I like to eat.
But what if you tried it something different and you really liked it?
What if you didn't like it, though?
Well, then you spit it out. You don't eat it. I mean...
Then I've wasted money. I've wasted a chance to eat good food.
But what if you... If you really
what if
like,
I like it as much as chicken fingers? Like then I probably should just order chicken fingers.
It's just
you sound like the face. You sound like the what's the story?
This.
The poster. I don't know what kind of I don't know what this would be considered as, but the life lesson where it's like, hey, a man went to a deserted island and there was a fisherman there who was really good at catching fish, and they're like, oh, you should start your own business doing this, and then you could expand and do all this other stuff, and at the very end. The businessman is telling him, then at the very end, you could retire and just fish. And he's kind of like, I'm already kind of doing that, Like, I could find good food and find something that I like that I enjoy eating, or I could just enjoy eating what
that's
I already enjoy eating.
It's kind of not really the same thing.
It is, kind of.
It's really not.
Yeah. Like the big goal of this guy starting his own business and running the rat race was so that he could retire and get to go fishing whenever he wants, which that's already what he does.
But that's working toward a goal. Like, you don't have to put in any work to just eat some food.
But his life was already happened. Food. He wasn't money motivated. He just wanted to chill. So it is kind of the same thing.
I don't understand the mindset. I don't know why you wouldn't just. I mean, just I try like what something I like. Different.
What's the point?
I mean, because you could just try it, and if you don't like it, you don't like it.
Go over there and kiss Cam.
That's not, again, it's not the same thing.
You might like it.
We're talking about food. Food is an easy thing to just
so is
attain.
Kissing. It's pretty easy. As long as Cam consents.
Well, see, I don't even know if Cam would consent. Food always consents.
Not according to PETA.
Well, no, I guess not, according to PETA. I don't know why you wouldn't want to try a new thing. Like, you go over to Africa and they have this cuisine, and let's say it's like chicken and some sort of rice that they make. It's like, but they put their own spin on it. You know, they do different spices, different ways of cooking. I mean.
So what happens if I like it, Cody?
Well, then you can say I experienced some really good food in Africa and I enjoyed it.
And then I come back home knowing I can never have that same taste again. Then I just, move to Africa and enjoy the food there? Like,
no, you could look up the recipe for it.
I'm not going to be able to cook it as good as the locals.
Well, I mean, if you learn how to cook it, you could make it similar, maybe. I mean, I don't know. It's just about trying new things. I don't understand people that don't want to try new things.
I just said I was coming around. I just said I was coming around on going to the trip.
What if you go to Italy?
That's a big step for me.
What if you went to Italy?
I like spaghetti. I'll eat some spaghetti. I like the marinara. I like the people. The
spaghetti.
I like the meatball.
Really? Spaghetti?
Pizza? Like, what? I would eat Italian food. I'm familiar with Italian food.
Well, would you try their other dishes?
Nope.
The ones that are a little more, you know, Italian?
Maybe.
Spaghetti.
But they've earned my trust already. Well, I've eaten the meatballs my whole life.
Well, how about like some chicken marsala, something like that, just something a little different.
You know? Sounds sexy,
Maybe try some capers.
Nope, I'm out on the capers. That sounds like it's not up my alley.
Do you ever do just like an olive oil-based sauce? Some olive oil, eat some olives.
Not a fan of olives.
Like with some mozzarella.
No.
Fresh mozzarella, you ever tried that?
No. I would try some fresh mozzarella.
Like it's actually in like the ball.
Yeah, I would try that.
That's good.
Yeah, like I said.
With an olive. And
yeah. The Italian chefs have earned my trust already.
So in Italy, so you would be cool with Italy trying different foods?
Because I've eaten Italian food. I feel a little bit more comfortable with it. I like Italian food here. You know, the Americanized Italian food, sure, but I would trust that. I've eaten it before.
Okay.
I'm familiar with it.
Okay. Mexican food?
I don't like Mexican food.
You don't like Mexican food?
I do not like Mexican food.
Tacos even?
I mean, yeah, I like tacos, but like very bland tacos. Like, I went to Babalu on Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, shout out LeBron James, and I ate four of the fried shrimp tacos. Really three. Girlfriend stole the last one because she wanted to only order two apparently for some reason, and then when she got due with her two and I had my one sitting there, she was still hungry, so she's like, should I order another one? I was like, here, just take this one. She's like, no, it's yours. Like, I just take it, I'm full. Even though I wasn't full, I lied.
Oh,
I know, love and all.
So you don't eat other Mexican food?
Nope.
Like
nope, absolutely not.
No enchiladas? Nope. Even. Mm-mm. Nothing like
I ate some arepas when I was growing up.
What are those?
Like that's my friend told me they're like pancakes, but they're not really like pancakes.
The Mexican,
or is that empanada? Empanada, de pas, I don't know.
The Mexican sweet stuff is not very good.
I've tried Indian food because, you know, my friend's Indian.
Right, huh?
Didn't like it
at all.
And it was always awkward at the house. Mom would fix it, and I'd go and leave and get McDonald's. It's just, I like what I like, man. I am who I am.
Feel like
you
you're
like
the,
it or love it.
I feel like you're the guy that the other cultures make fun of us for. Like they say the white people don't season their food, and I feel like you're that guy.
You know what they say about you?
That I eat too much of it. Yeah, they make fun of me too.
Lloyd's Electric Services is the region's most trusted service provider and a leader in mechanical and electrical service, industrial maintenance infrastructure, and commercial building services. Commercial building maintenance doesn't have to be pieced out to different companies. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. The LES Facility Service Division believes that facility maintenance should include it all. HVAC and refrigeration, Lloyd's deals with all top brands in HVAC, commercial and industrial units, chillers, and restaurant equipment. Telecommunication, Lloyd's is a trusted source for all fiber and hybrid coax installations. Let their team of highly qualified technicians upgrade and maintain your network. Their around-the-clock service repairs are available anytime, day or night, 365 days a year. Commercial, industrial, residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Lloyd's Electric Services, your business, our priority.
That's helping his draft stock rise. If you look at the mock drafts right now, almost every headline you read is Joe Burrow ascending, Joe Burrow climbing, ascending. Todd McShay said it himself. Would not shock him the way he's playing to see Burrow as a first-round quarterback. He said the first time he saw him last year, he watched tape on him, thought he was more of a three-day player. Watches him now, he sees the progression. Todd McShay, one of the great experts of the NFL draft, says he looks like he's gone from a day three guy to a potential first-round draft pick. The stock is on the rise. He's getting better and better. He's got a big arm. He's throwing the ball down the field. I think Joe Burrow, the momentum is in his favor of being a higher NFL draft prospect based on what he's doing this year.
Apologies to the podcast listeners. You come in the middle of this or that. We are doing Jake Fromm versus Joe Burrow NFL prospects. You mentioned that. That's fine. I check CBS's sports last mock draft. Currently, Joe Burrow is not listed as a first rounder, I don't believe, and they have Jake Fromm number 12. So I mean, like,
I go by Todd McShay.
He might
Mel Kiper.
Well, I mean, Todd McShay and Mel Kiper said he could be a first round pick.
I said
they already have Jake Fromm. They already have Jake Fromm as a first round pick. Can he rise to that level?
Well,
sure.
See, Jake
but
Fromm
right
can
now,
only fall. He can only fall.
Well, I don't know if that's true that he can only fall.
He's
but,
already at the top. Good for him. I mean, congrats. But Burrow is climbing. Have we seen Fromm make this kind of climb?
I mean, yeah, between year one and year two, and continue to rise between year two and year three. Like, currently he is projected as a better NFL prospect. Now, Burrow is rising, sure, and I'll give you that. But, I mean, he's
again,
still...
Again, that's just one particular mock draft.
I understand.
That's just one website. I mean, there's a lot of different mock drafts.
I understand, but what you said was, you know, your big endorsement was that he could be a first-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, McShay says right now he looks like a first-round pick.
Walter Football also has Jake Fromm, 13, to the Titans. No Joe Burrow in the first round.
You said Joe Burrow to the Titans earlier.
I said I saw a mock draft yesterday that had it.
Right,
two
so they're
so
pretty.
Far.
I mean, they're pretty similar hand in hand right now.
Jake Fromm was higher in that.
Jake
one
Fromm's
too.
Only 6'2". Joe Burrow's 6'4". He's got bigger hands.
I don't know if that matters.
I don't know if it does either, but it's something that they look at the combine.
I think they've gotten away from looking at the
Burrow's
size
bigger. He looks more like Peyton Manning. I mean, and
you know who else looks like Peyton Manning? Brock Osweiler.
Well, I think we discussed a couple weeks ago, if you at least look like Peyton Manning, you have the similar build, and you got a big arm, and you can throw it, which Joe Burrow does, you're probably going to have a long NFL career, at least as a backup.
Yeah.
At least as one of those lower-tier backups. Fromm, he's a little small. Fromm's only 6'1 and a half. He's mm-hmm. just, he's, you know, he's the kind of guy, can he see over the offensive line? You got to worry about that with Fromm. Can he make the reads with those big giants in front of him?
The thing is, Jake Fromm has a NFL offensive line right now with his offensive line at Georgia, and he does pretty well.
They're playing college football.
But they are as big as NFL offensive linemen. Like their tackles are NFL linemen.
Ain't the same game.
No, but size is.
He's going to have a lot more pressure on him in the NFL.
Size is.
He's got it made right now. He's playing against Vanderbilt, Tennessee, I mean, Kentucky, you know. I mean, he's got it made. In the NFL, it's not going to be like that. I worry about a guy his size.
If that's the case, can we look up who Joe Burrow's played so far this year?
Texas.
And?
An SEC schedule.
I think I've made my decision. All right. Cody, you lost me with the height thing, as you did just put Russell Wilson as your number one NFL quarterback.
Oof.
And he is known for being smaller. And John also mentioned some of the NFL throws that Fromm makes. So I got to go point John on that one.
I mentioned that, too. I mentioned that Burrow has a big arm.
Mm. Lots of QBs got big arms.
Hate to hear that. All right. One up.
All right. Next up, would you rather be stuck in a horror movie or a war movie?
First of all, I'd like to say I support the troops. I love the troops here on Talk Sports. We are big fans of the troops. I don't think any show here at the station loves the troops as much as we do. This feels slightly maybe offensive of like, hey, would we rather be in a war movie or a horror movie? But either way, I will go horror movie because I like the horror genre more than war movies. I just like watching horror stuff more. And I feel like you can maybe survive horror movies if you kind of know the rules of horror movies. War movies, like, I don't know how to survive a war movie. Are you the jerk? Because sometimes the jerk gets killed too. Are you the really nice guy? Because usually the nice guy is going to get killed. Like, are you the protagonist's best friend? Because if you're the protagonist's best friend, you are definitely dying. Right? You are definitely dying. If I'm stuck in a horror movie, there's the option of like, hey, I could either play my role, know the rules. Shout out to Jamie Kennedy in Scream and Scream 2. Or could I maybe even be the killer? Who knows? If you're stuck in a horror movie, maybe I'm the killer. It's just a movie, you know? Maybe it's plot twist. Like, I wake up and I'm like, wait, I'm the killer the whole time? And there's a lot more nudity in horror movies than in war movies. Not a lot of nudity in war movies. Lots of nudity in horror movies. I mean, that's one of the staples of the horror genre. Boobies are going to be out. Sex is going to be had.
It's all about sex and boobies with you, isn't it?
I think it's an added plus.
It's all about the sex and the boobies.
I think it's an
added
plus.
What about the American flag?
Mm-hmm.
You don't see a lot of American flags in horror movies, do you?
That is true.
What about respect to our troops? You come on here saying you love the troops, and then you proceed to take the horror genre.
Could be an anti-war movie. We don't know.
I mean, we don't know for sure. I'm kind of thinking about what would be more terrifying. Like, to be at war, because that's a thing that actually happens.
Yeah.
People actually go through it. Mm-hmm. It happens. It's fairly normal. I mean, war. I mean, if America's not in a war, what are we really doing, right? We've always been at war. So it's a fairly normal thing. Most people that go to war survive. Now, there is a risk to die, of course, and we respect and love our troops. But in a horror movie, you're most likely going to die. And it's going to be a painful, scary way. You know what I mean? Like, it does feel kind of weird arguing about this. But in war, you get shot, right? You're going to get shot. Nobody in a horror movie just gets shot. You're getting, like, eaten by a monster or, you know, you're getting chased by a guy with a chainsaw. I mean, a horror movie death is pretty gruesome. So the manner of death, I feel like, is better in a war movie than it would be in a horror movie. Plus, you're just terrified the whole time. In war, I imagine you in the war movies, you got the adrenaline flowing, you're shooting, you're trying to stay alive. You're, you know, it's like a very intense sport. Horror movie, you're just terrified. It's dark. You might be in a house. Things are creaking. Oh my God! There's a doll.
Either you're terrified, like, or you're doing the thing like where you're not taking the threat seriously, right? Like, oh, this isn't real. This isn't gonna happen. Oh, nobody, it is real. It is gonna happen. Just give Cody the point. And let's move on.
Yeah, I gotta give it to Cody for supporting fighting for our country.
We love the troops here.
I was trying to be pro troops with that, weird. But it felt weird.
Yeah,
it felt weird.
Whenever you said the topic before the break, it sounded
like
a good one.
Yeah, it sounded better before the arguments.
Yeah, but then we actually got into it. I was like, this doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
So we love the troops. We love all of our veterans.
These are movies. We're talking about veterans.
We're talking about movies, but we love our troops.
All right.
Obviously.
So last
give Cody the point.
Would you rather give up college football forever or NFL football forever?
I would rather give up the NFL forever. As much as I do enjoy my Sundays and playing fantasy football and all that, I got to root for my school. You know, I went here. It's in my heart. We all still live here. I mean, what is the lifeblood of Fan Run Radio? I mean, for Pete's sake, the reason we're all in this room is because Tennessee football exists, and this is a college football town. It's a college sports town. And, again, love my pro sports, love the NFL. But there's just simply nothing better than being in Neyland Stadium on a game day Saturday when Tennessee is good. And if we're implying forever, then I'm allowed to have Tennessee be good because we're not going to be bad forever.
We don't.
So
we can't say that with certainty.
We're talking about giving it up forever.
We can't say that with certainty that we will be good again. We can't say that with certainty.
At some point, there's a pretty good chance we're going to be good again. Neyland's going to be rocking again. Rocky Top, the game day traditions, all your friends come back to town, you see your friends, people you went to school with. It's just, it's a really good game day atmosphere.
Here's what I will say, Cam. If I'm giving up the NFL football, I'm wiping out a whole sport. I'm wiping out a whole fandom. If I give up college football, guess what? I can still watch college basketball. I can still watch Rocky Top. I can still have the boys come. We can meet up for a game.
The same.
I know college basketball is better. We are a basketball school. I would much prefer to go sit in a nice, cool Thompson Bowling Arena with my boys
and
watch the Vols. Right, but the Titans would be completely dead. My Titans gear would be obsolete. My Vols gear, just roll it over. Let's watch some basketball. Rick Barnes and the boys. Eh. Or Will Wade. I guess he's probably burnt that bridge because he's a cheater. But whoever replaces Rick Barnes, maybe it's just one of the assistant coaches now. Keep this train rolling. Whatever. If I give up the NFL, I give up the Titans. I give up those teams that are just completely wiped out. I don't have to lose my college rivalries because, you know, the SEC basketball conference is the same as the SEC football conference. I can still hate Georgia. I can still hate Florida. I can still hate Alabama. I can still do all of that. Support my school. Support my Vols. Rock the orange during basketball season, during baseball season, during all of that stuff. If I give up the Titans, that wipes out the Titans completely. And, quite frankly, I mean, I prefer the NFL to college football. We've talked about that many times of how much better the product is and stuff like that. That's also an added bonus to giving up college football over the NFL.
The thing is, though, think about what got you here. You wouldn't be sitting in that chair. We wouldn't be doing this radio show if it wasn't for college football, if it wasn't for Tennessee football.
We have talked to Tennessee football.
The stickers on your laptop. The stickers I'm looking at on your laptop, why are they all orange and white? I don't see any two-tone blue. Your podcast, is there a coincidence that orange and white are the key colors? Is orange just your favorite color?
What happened here?
Because it seems Tennessee orange to me.
What happened here was this picture is from a video talking about a Florida football game. And then the shirt said, Florida, you can go to hell. So that was the picture. So it was orange and white. We sold orange and white t-shirts.
Interesting that you bring up Florida can go to hell. I never saw you making a video about how the Colts can go to hell. I never saw Indianapolis, you can go to hell. So you're implying that you care more about the Titans than you do the Vols, but I don't think I believe it.
In 2016?
What got you here? What got you famous? It wasn't say you can go to hell, Colts.
In 2016, maybe you're right. That was one season. How much Tennessee football have we talked this year?
Well, it's a down year. It's
okay,
a down time.
That's fun. You're using 2016, which is an outlier. You're using that as some type of evidence, but that's merely an outlier, sir, and I don't think it is worthy of extrapolating over
I doubt we're going to be talking a lot of Titans.
Ask me my most heartbreaking loss of all time. Ask me.
What's your most heartbreaking loss of
Titans,
all time?
1 yard short. That's number one. Ask me my favorite athlete of all time. Steve McNair, Titans, number one.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Peyton
Manning doesn't mean anything.
I see no two-tone blue on your laptop.
Peyton,
I never saw any videos about how much you hated the Colts.
Well, we have Talk Sports, bro. Look at the Talk Sports sticker. The station here is orange and white. This isn't my decision.
Why is the station here orange and white?
Because we love college. We love Tennessee.
Are you willing to give up your career for the Titans?
We love the University of Tennessee.
Will you give up your career for the Titans?
We love the University of Tennessee.
You won't answer that question because you know the answer to it.
I would move to Nashville to cover the Titans, yeah.
No, your career is based because of Tennessee football. It's who you are.
You're
a Knoxville radio personality.
I'm a radio personality.
You're in Knoxville.
I would leave. I would go to a different city. I don't have to sit here and cover Tennessee football. I would actually like to go somewhere else and cover some more professional sports if I had to. It's not a big deal.
While I do believe you, you would never be in this position if this was not a college sports town. Who knows what you'd be doing right now?
I mean, if I lived in a professional sports town, I might be even bigger.
But you don't. You grew up here.
I know. Like, that's, yeah.
Which means it's ingrained in you. It's embedded in you.
And
it's always going to matter more.
And I'm sitting here telling you that it doesn't.
It's always going to matter more.
I get to keep my Tennessee. I get to keep the basketball team.
But if it, you wouldn't be in this career field.
If I didn't fall in love with the Titans, I might not even like sports.
You wouldn't be in this career field.
I might not be in the career field if the Titans didn't gravitate my heart.
If Knoxville didn't have college football, you'd be doing something
else. I've always liked the Titans more than the Vol football team.
Not enough to move to Nashville, apparently.
Well, why would I do that? I don't live in Knoxville for the football team.
I don't know. If you really love the Titans as much as you're saying, you'd go be with them.
I can watch them on TV here.
TV.
I don't go to any games here. I've been to one football game in the last 3 years here. I've went to more Titans games last year than I did Vols games. What are you talking about?
Important to remember as well that you graduated from the University of Tennessee.
Yes. I'm not talking bad about the University of Tennessee. I just said I would support the basketball team.
If it weren't for college football, you wouldn't have a college degree. Think about your livelihood.
I don't understand the connection.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not a point.
Cam, do you understand it?
I gotta give the point to John. He does. He gathered with the argument, but he does still get to enjoy the other aspects of college sports. So he does get to still win his university.
Go Vols! Rick Barnes and the boys. Looking forward to watching them play basketball. Looking forward. I said number one. You know, earlier my biggest loss of the year so far is probably losing to Purdue. Love the basketball team. Last call on the other side. Last call on the program is brought to you by Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. If you haven't tried Volunteer Vodka, they're doing a live free taste test this Friday from 4 to 7 at Total Wine in Turkey Creek. Even if you have tried it and you like it, go by and say what's up to them. Say, hey, thanks for the support. Thanks for supporting John and Cody. We love them. We love you. All right, pump the brakes and keep rolling. Cody, you want to go first or second?
Second.
Scary snakehead fish close by. Now give it to me. An invasive fish. Let me try this one more time. An invasive fish species that can breathe air and survive on land has been found in Georgia for the first time, and officials are warning anyone who comes in contact with the species to kill it immediately. An angler caught the northern snakehead fish this month in Gwinnett County. Gwinnett County, that is like right where like the Braves are, right? That's like right in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, it's where the minor league team is. It's where I'm from. It's where Kamara's from, right in there.
All right, this is the first time it's been discovered in Georgia. Snakeheads have been reported in 14 states nationwide. The long-finned fish has a dark, brown, blotchy appearance. It can grow up to 3 feet in length. Can breathe air and survive in low oxygenated systems, including on land. They are considered a non-native invasive species, which means it affects native species by competing for food and habitat. Anyone who catches one should kill it immediately and freeze it. If possible, take pictures of the fish, including close-ups of its mouth, fins, and tail, and note where it was caught. So apparently, Cam, you know anything about these fish? These fish sound scary.
Oh, yeah. They're a big problem.
They look terrifying.
Yeah,
that's
why they're named snakeheads, because their head looks like a snake pretty much.
Yeah, they look scary.
Like you said, they get 3 feet long. Like, they're really big, have big appetites. They'll eat everything in the, like, pond pretty much. And they can lay, like, 40,000 to, like, 60,000 eggs at one time.
Oh, no.
So, like, they're easy to, like, spread.
And to really take over an ecosystem.
Yeah, well, absolutely. They'll just eat everything up. And then since they can come on land, they have been known to like change ponds by just crawling across land, because they can survive outside of water if they stay wet.
So they eat one pond up, eat it dry, swim over to another pond, or walk over to another pond, and then eat that up. Okay.
Yeah. So they destroy.
I mean, if they're in Gwinnett, Georgia, I mean, they could realistically make it to Chattanooga.
Yeah. If they get to like the Chattahoochee or something, or anything around there, it could be a problem.
Yikes. Okay. Snakehead fish.
Yikes. How about that?
I wonder, like, will they start paying people to kill these?
They did that in Maryland for a while when they were a really big problem.
Where was it, Cody? Was it in Florida where you could hunt the big pythons?
Yeah.
A couple years ago?
Yeah.
Were they, like, paying people $10 an hour or something like that to go down there and try to $100 a snake or something like that to try to kill these pythons?
Crazy.
A pretty cool thing to do.
Just go out there and fish. Here's your chance, Houston. You're always fishing. Go out there and help us. Save us.
It's supposed to be a tough catch, too. So
there
challenge.
You go. These are scary.
I got a meth sandwich.
No. Meth stories usually make me sad. Delete. Sorry.
All right. I got
I'm scared of these fish.
I got a.
That's why I don't get. I don't like the lake either. I don't like swimming in water. I can't say. I'm a pool guy, to be honest.
I got another fish story. It's about a fish cake.
Okay. Pump your
brakes, kid. It caused a man to die after he ate a very hot fish cake.
What is a fish cake?
It's, I don't know. It's like deep fried, you know, fish and batter, and you just fry it up. Like okay. You ever had like a, what is it, like a
fried catfish?
A salmon patty.
Okay.
It's kind of like that, I guess.
Sure.
This is called a fish cake. Anyway, a man ate one that was very hot, and it burned his throat so badly he died.
Oh, well.
You would think maybe you'd get a glass of water or just spit it out, you know, before that happens. But anyway, I guess, you know, evolution, right?
Okay.
See it.
Survival of the fittest.
I think that's Darwinism.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew what you were going for.
We'll evolve without this man.
We'll be fine. The human species will still thrive. Or at least survive. Until all the snake fish come and eat our face off and kill us. Those things are terrifying and they look like aliens. The drive's up next!